Welcome to another episode of the Fireside Chat Podcast. I'm Chris Barber from the PragerU Social Team. And before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to let you guys know that it is PragerU's fundraising month. And this week, every dollar that you give to PragerU will be matched dollar for dollar. To quote Dennis Prager, there are three kinds of people in this world. Those who do nothing, that's the majority of people. And it's always been the case. There are those who fight, like the folks at PragerU. And there are those who supply our fight. That's our donors. We are immensely grateful to our donors for standing with us and hope you are proud of the work we are accomplishing together to save America. So donate today. Your donation will be double matched this week until August 14th. PragerU.com/donate. And now to Fireside Chat episode 250. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Dennis Prager with Fireside Chat number 250.
250.
250?
Yeah.
Well, this is a milestone. 250 is a biggie because the next biggie is really 500, which is years from now. 250. Uh-oh, I better make it good. Thank God. You have no idea what we went through to get him to be here today. This is Otto. I'm Dennis Prager. The Fireside Chat is a completely spontaneous effervescence of thought, where I share my thoughts with you and take questions from you. So just a very quick word on a news item. I don't normally discuss news items on the Fireside Chat because I want these things to be much larger than any one event. I will just say that I'm worried about liberty in America. Well, that I've said many times. I write a column each week. If you're interested, you can get it at DennisPrager.com. I hope you would. I devote a lot of time. There are 1,000 of my columns up. That's 20 years worth of weekly columns. And it gives a good introduction to my thinking on almost, well, not every subject, but on many subjects. And I wrote during the lockdowns in the very beginning, when I called it in April of 2020, on this Fireside Chat, in a tweet and in a column, and on my radio show, the greatest mistake in world history. Not the greatest evil, I made that clear. There are many terrible evils that were greater, but in terms of mistake, the lockdowns, only Sweden seems not to have done it, and they were right in their decision. The after effects, the devastation to small businesses, the devastation to the economies of countries, the devastation to the supply chain in the world, the devastation to children for missing school for almost 2 years, the mask preoccupation, which had a terrible impact on human-to-human relations and on the growth of children who need to see faces. And I wrote as well a column called A Dress Rehearsal for a Police State. I've never used such terms in my life with regard to America. I try always not to engage in exaggeration. But once you get away with suppressing people's liberty for no good reason, well, at least he showed up for the beginning. Be well, Otto. Thank God we got him in the beginning, right? The moment you get away with suppressing freedom, there will be people who will take advantage of it over and over. My fear is that people called progressives who love power, how do we know they love power? Because they want the state, the government, to expand more and more and more. America was founded as the freest country in world history, which is why the Statue of Liberty is in America. France gave it to America. France did not give it to itself. France did not give it to any other country. She gave it to America. And the secret to liberty in America is smaller government than anywhere else. The bigger the government, the less the freedom. That's definitional. It's not even controversial. So the left, the progressives, want government to get bigger and bigger. And when I see the raid done on a previous president's residence, I see the use of government to suppress political opponents. That is a characteristic of a police state, of a third world type country that is filled with corruption. And that is my fear for my beloved country. If freedom gives way in America, the world will go into a very dark age of cruelty. America keeps bad guys from doing bad things. So this raid is, it's irrelevant if you like the previous president, Donald Trump, or not. Completely irrelevant. The question is, do you like liberty, not do you like Trump? You can hate Trump and be against the raid. Using the FBI or the CIA or the police or prosecutors to go after political opponents has not been the American way. It is the corrupt way. So I worry about liberty. So just a quick word on that. Freedom is a value, not an instinct. This I know I've said here many, many times. It's worth repeating over and over. People do not yearn to be free. Human nature yearns to be taken care of. People will give up freedom to be taken care of. I'm finishing the fourth of my five-volume commentary on the first five books of the Bible, my series called The Rational Bible. In this book, the Book of Numbers, as it's called, in Hebrew it's got a better name, In the Wilderness, this book depicts the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews leaving Egypt. All the books, well, not all the books, the last two, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Well, and Exodus, three of the five books, obviously Exodus, that's what it's about, Exodus. But it shows how immediately they complained that they preferred to go back to Egypt. The reason that the Bible is eternally important is because it's rooted in human nature, and human nature doesn't change. Technology changes, knowledge changes, but human nature doesn't. It is one of the most powerful depictions of human nature possible, especially the five books, the first five books known as the Torah, or the Pentateuch, or the five books of Moses, call it what you will. So they say, they literally say it's in there. We want to go back to Egypt. The food was better. The food was better. They were slaves. We think that the human being yearns to be free. That's not true. People yearn to be free when they're slaves. But until then, they don't yearn to be free. They yearn to be taken care of, which is a form of slavery. Isn't it odd that people want to be independent? Isn't most people's fear when they get older that they'll become dependent on others? Isn't that the biggest fear people have, aside from getting chronically ill? People don't want to be dependent on their children, their adult children, or on nursing care. That's what people most are afraid of. But why? They're not afraid of it the rest of their lives. I want to be taken care of by the government. That's okay. But I want to be taken care of by my children or nurses. That's not okay. Interesting. So a whole generation, two generations, three generations since World War II have not been raised to cherish freedom. And in America, we're losing it. It can be lost. Ronald Reagan said it takes one generation to lose freedom. It sounded like a sweet line when he said it. Turns out to be true. Well, I ended up talking about that. I was going to talk about something else. I'll do the something else next time. I don't even want to hint at it, because then I can't, if I don't develop the theme, it's not a good idea. I'm not going to even give you a trailer. By the way, one more thing about liberty. One of the things I have come to realize, for whatever reason, more intensely in the last few years of my life than before, is that, I know this will sound silly because everybody knows this when they're 15, basically, if they think about anything, how powerful human nature is. But I don't mean human nature for that everyone has a human nature. I mean your nature and my nature. I should do a fireside chat opening on that issue. It is very important to know your nature, and it's very important to know others' natures, because you become a lot more tolerant when you realize that people have very, very different natures. So I've studied me a lot of my life. I wanted to know me. I wanted to know what's particular to me and what in me is universal. That's a good way of understanding life. And so particular to me, not unique, but particular, I am crazed about freedom. It is such a radically important part of my nature. I think I may have mentioned this, but I don't know. I don't remember if I did, and I don't know if you'll remember if I did. But it really gives you an example of what I mean. I so love freedom that when I was 15, I said to my parents, is it okay with you if on weeknights I don't eat at home? That's crazy. You never heard that, right? From anybody. I actually wanted to eat out. I lived in Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I wanted to go to Manhattan on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights and just go to bookstores and concerts and theater and just walk around. I loved it. It was a highlight. To have to meet my parents' dinner schedule, I felt was confining. It suppressed my liberty. To my parents' great credit, they said, fine. And they gave me money to eat out every night. I mean, if I told you how much, you'd laugh, but I'll tell you how much. $1.50. Now, for $1.50 today, I think a Coke is more than $1.50 in a restaurant, right? It's like $2.50. Yeah. I got a whole meal for $1.50. Which gives you an idea how long ago it was, but it was truly pre-inflation. And they gave me the $1.50 for 4 nights a week. I ate out. I'll give you another example of how radical I am about liberty. I began lecturing at the age of 21. By the age of 23, just took 2 years, I realized, even though it will cost me money, and I was getting very, very little for speeches, didn't matter to me. I rented a car in any city I went because I didn't want to be dependent upon local people to drive me around, the people who invited me. Isn't that interesting? Do you know, to this day, I associate eating in a restaurant and renting a car with liberty. So I admit that part of my nature is radical freedom. I'm crazy about it. When I went to the Soviet Union, I have to preface it with, so I was fascinated by communism, which is the opposite of freedom. It's totalitarianism. They control everything in your life. So I studied Russian and I went to the Soviet Union. And I realized if I lived here, I would have been imprisoned and maybe killed. I knew I couldn't take it. The utter suppression of liberty. So it's part of my hatred of communism and suppression of liberty and the threat to liberty in America. It's part of my nature. So I admit that. I just want to note on the nature part, I said it makes you more tolerant. It does. It, when you know that another person, they're just driven by other things. I'm not talking morally. Morally, we have to be the same. We have to observe a moral law. But beyond moral law, you have to be very aware that others have a different nature. I'll give you one more example and then go to the questions. So I have loved classical music ever since high school. I mean, really loved it. It's like my drug of choice. And I fell in love with it the first time I heard it. It's in my nature to love classical music. When you have something very part of your nature, you think everybody else does too, but it's not true. My closest friend, who was a wonderful, still my dear friend, he when he hears classical music, he starts thinking about how many mosquitoes are in Louisiana. It has no impact. It's like background noise. It's like a fan. And I remember thinking, how could you be deep and not like classical music? And the answer is, you can be deep and not like classical music. That's the answer. In fact, you could be deep and like any type of music. So the understanding that others' natures are different from your own is a very beautiful way of understanding other people as precious in their own right. Now, that doesn't justify bad. It justifies different. So I wanted to share that. So the liberty issue to me is both in my nature and in my values. Okay, let's go to the first question. Okay, take it away.
Hi, Dennis. My name is Lauren. I'm 24 years old, and I'm from San Juan Capistrano, California. My question to you is, with the public school systems failing, how important do you feel homeschooling is right now?
This is really worth its own opening statements, so I'll just be very brief. I have said for decades, if you send your child to college, or when you send your child to college, you are playing Russian roulette with their values. Now that's true for elementary school and high school just as much. But not just their values, their mental health, their maturity, their happiness. To have five-year-olds discuss whether or not they're a boy or a girl is child abuse. Why would you send your child to such a school? People are afraid of homeschooling because they think they can't do it. It's not true. The fear is much greater than the reality. There are so many sites and groups now to help you. You put in as much or as little time as you want into the homeschooling of your child. You can have people teach them. You don't have to be the teacher. I couldn't teach algebra, just as an example. But there's no doubt in my mind that that's what I would do. When I meet homeschool kids, I almost always can tell they're a homeschool kid. They're happier. They're more polite, which means nothing to a lot of people today. But it's a big deal. They're deeper. They're more mature. They have more wisdom. I am as advocative of it as possible. By the way, here's an interesting little tidbit. Germany forbids homeschooling. How's that? Because they don't cherish freedom in Germany. The only time they cherished freedom in Germany was when East Germany was communist, and they could contrast their free West Germany to unfree East Germany. But otherwise, like most Western Europeans, it's no big deal. Okie doke. What's our time here?
20.
Good. Ready? Mm-hmm. Next. Oh, Becca in Longview, Texas, 26 years old. Greetings, Dennis. Like you, I enjoy matchmaking. A friend of mine who's a fan of PragerU is interested in getting to know a certain man behind the scenes. And if said man is open to communication, we can work together to set them up. They just might hit it off. Then we can high-five and celebrate our collaborative matchmaking. To the real question, would you tell Nathan that Danielle is interested in getting to know him? Nathan, Danielle is interested in getting to know you.
Flattered.
You're flattered. So here's the issue. Who sent it? What's your name again?
Becca.
You've got to send me, and I'll forward it to Nate the Great. You got to send me a picture and a description of Danielle. We can't just set them up blindly. Now, I am the one who's adamant about the picture because it matters. I know it's not fair. Life is not fair. But I'm sorry. In heaven, it doesn't matter how you look. On earth, it does. Is that fair?
Sure. Yep.
And by the way, I'll send you a picture of Nate the Great, who, frankly, could be a model. I asked him right before while he was setting me up, do you work out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he works out. On the other hand, Nathan does have some flaws. That was beautiful because it was completely unexpected. Completely. Not many. Not any that I could detect that are deal breakers. So let's all now imagine for a moment Danielle. Okay. The ball's in your court, Becca. Next. Robert, 92. All right, my man. Essex, Connecticut. I can't answer what are the three biggest challenges we face today. I mean, spontaneously, this is what's on my immediate response, okay? If I thought about it, I may have three different answers. The decline in liberty, the decline in religion. Secularism is a dead end. It is a dead end. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're an agnostic. Secularism is a dead end. It makes people less happy, less fulfilled. It causes moral chaos. Only a secular society would say men give birth. Okay? Just for the record. So the secularism, what was the first thing? Liberty, the decline in liberty, and the pervasive lies about America, like it's systemically racist. Now, I got a question for you. What's the secret to reaching 92 and still sending questions in to video chats? So this was asked. This was a great one. The oldest living World War II veteran died 2 years ago. I think he was 106. He's a black guy in Texas. And he's sort of like a folk hero, certainly a hero of mine. You know why? At 105, they asked him, what's the secret? And you know what he said? God and cigars. If that guy would have met with me, I'd have flown to Dallas that day.
You're going to live to be 105.
That's right. I'm up there. God and cigars. I love that response. So I wonder what yours is, Robert. Okay. Alice at Collierville, Tennessee. Dennis, you're a man of words, and I greatly admire your use of them. I am concerned, among other things, about the loss of word meanings. For instance, the word awesome is used frequently for trivial things, such as a toddler's drawings, etc., when in my mind, the word awesome refers to acts of God. Also, the word gay has lost its meaning, and the word homosexual is rarely used. How do you think the left has impacted our words? Or do you think it even matters? Thank you. It does matter, deeply. I don't care about gay and homosexual. I use gay. I have no issue with it. If I totally understand why homosexuals would want to be referred to as gays. I do. Because the word sexual is in it, and it's got a whole bunch of connotations and so on. I understand that. I'm totally with you on awesome. I don't understand that. I say to the waiter, I'd like a Caesar salad. Awesome. And I'm thinking, what is awesome about my Caesar salad? Awesome. That means filled with awe. By the way, it's not just with regard to God, right? You could say awesome. Beethoven's Fifth is awesome. Caesar salad is not. That's the way it works. I agree with you. We have word inflation. Perfect. Awesome. There are no words left, actually, to describe something that really is perfect or awesome. So I agree with you. I don't know why that happened. It's unfortunate. And I try not to use awesome, except when it's to be used. Okay. Annabelle, 56, Valdosta, Georgia. I loved what you said about God not being a butler and the whole concept of wanting to know what God requires of you and to please him. But it got me wondering, do you pray? If so, as an observant Jew, what do you pray if you don't make requests? As a devout Christian, I make requests on behalf of others for God to bring healing or change to a person's life that will glorify him. And in the New Testament, Jesus tells us to make our requests known to God. So it seems obvious this is what God wants. I could go on, but I know this is a long way of asking simply, what do you pray? So in Judaism, it's very different. Judaism has set prayers. These are thousands of years old. And most of the prayers in the Jewish prayer book are really just biblical verses. So you're reciting some, you know, like a best of biblical verses. To be honest, I never got into prayer even as a kid. Now, by the way, it's a good example of going back to nature. My nature is to get closer to God through study rather than prayer. Many people get closest to God through prayer. There's no right or wrong, but I sort of have resigned myself to the fact that prayer is not my strong suit. I have a cute way of putting it. I'm more interested in what God has to say to me than what I have to say to God. And the Bible is what God has to say to me, especially the first five books. That's why I've spent my life studying and teaching and now writing the Rational Bible series. So I don't pray much, I admit it. However, when I'm with Christians who open up a meal with a heartfelt prayer that is spontaneous, I like it. I admit it. That's short and sweet. And it invokes God in a very real way into the meal. Now, Jews have prayers before meals, but they're set. A special prayer like for eating of bread, which is the common thing to have at a meal, would be an example. But I like that spontaneous prayer. Maybe because Jewish prayer is so long. The average Sabbath service is 3 hours. The human being was not meant to pray for 3 hours. Do my Christian friends here agree with me on that? Oh yeah, Nate, you see it. Well, he doesn't see it because you go to my synagogue and video, but we only pray for an hour. The rest is study, which is what I like, actually. So I'll end this with a very personal thing. So I'm not comfortable with asking God for things for me. I think I'm wrong, but I'm just telling you that I'm not comfortable with it. I agree with you who wrote this question about praying for others. That's a beautiful thing. I have prayed for me, for myself, twice in my life. Once when I was about 9, when I broke my parents' most expensive vase, a special made thing from Italy. They had gone to Italy. They had it shipped back to America. It was expensive. It was designed for them, and I broke it. And I remember hiding in my room and going, oh, God, protect me from my mother. To my amazement, my mother didn't yell at me. So I should have thought, hey, maybe this thing works. The next time I made a prayer was about 55 years later. And that was answered too. That was a lot more serious than the vase. But I still try to keep it very, very to a minimum. But all that notwithstanding, I get closest to God through study. I just spent a week in Miami with Jordan Peterson and 6 others going through the book of Exodus. It will be available on the Daily Wire, and I'll let you know. It's an incredible project that they're spending a lot of money on. And I adore Jordan Peterson, and we're pretty close. And that's a joy in my life. That was a godly experience, going through the first half of the book of Exodus with him and these other wonderful people that he handpicked. So to each his own. Listen, other people will have something else that gives them a religious, I don't know, high, is that the word? I'll use it. Know your nature is a good thing. This is fundraising month for PragerU. A lot of people are hurting financially, and so the number of donations has been reduced in light of that. But we still have to influence people to do good things, to have a good life. So we need your help, even if it's a little amount. And by the way, this week, whatever you give is doubled. Some donors have said, whatever you get this week, we will double. You send us $10, it's $20. You send us $100, it's $200. And obviously, whatever you send, it's just doubled. So please do that. Everything we do is available for free. But it costs a lot to do all this. Okay, see you next week.
Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.